ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last Nama which we saw was 781, Durariha, one who is the slayer of the devilish Asuras. Sura means Sattvic people, Asura means the negative Rajasic, you can also include Tamasic people. Asura means the opposite of Sattvic. Deva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga. We have this chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Chapter 16 is called Deva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga. The yoga of distinction between divine and demonic. So he says, Durariha means one who is the slayer of the devilish Asuras. Asuras meaning Asura Guna. The guna which are devolutionary are stagnating in nature. When you follow sattva, you keep growing. When you follow rajas, you stagnate. When you follow tamas, you devolve. You go in a downward spiral. So he says, he's a slayer of asuras. Asuras meaning Asura Guna. You know, even in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. Whenever there is a problem for righteousness, when unrighteousness takes over, then he says, I will be born again and again. For what purpose? He says, paritranaya sadhunam. To protect the sadhus. Vinashayasa duskratam. So to destroy the negative people. Negative people in the sense, it is eliminating the negativity. See, this concept all of us need to understand correctly. I have mentioned this many times. You cannot fight with darkness and win. Please understand that. Mind is a product of darkness. Product of ignorance. You cannot fight with mind and win. It's like shadow boxing. When you do shadow boxing, you get tired after a while. So you lose. So if you fight with a principle essentially non-existing, but appears to be existing, only you will lose. That's the problem. So therefore, the only way to fight darkness is by bringing in light. There is no other method. So this study of Vishnu Sahasranama or any other text is only to increase the inner awareness. When our knowledge, wisdom, awareness grows in the spiritual dimension, then automatically the negativities drop. Darkness cannot come closer to light. Mr. S-U-N doesn't know what is darkness. He doesn't know who is Nisha. There's a story. It says that Mr. Sun was told, Nisha is beautiful, you should get married to her. So he said, okay, I would like to look at her. And when he went to see Nisha, she was not there. She disappeared. The sense Mr. Sun doesn't know what is Nisha. There is no darkness. So The whole thing is, mind is a conditioning that we have been building over a period of time. And you try to fight with it, you will only lose. But you know, you get a very interesting, kick in the brain. That you're doing something, you know, you're fighting, you're trying to overcome, you're almost there. But if you sit down and keep gaining knowledge and not doing anything directly to the mind, you think you're not dealing with the problems. But actually you're dealing with the problem from its root. So, Durariha, it destroys the asuras. All negativities will go, you know, slowly as you evolve spiritually, your attachments will drop, your dependence will drop, your anger, jealousy, everything will go. You remember that quotation of Swami Vivekananda. It says, somebody asked him, what did you gain coming to spirituality? He says, I don't know if I gained something, but I definitely know what all I have lost. I have lost a lot. He says, I lost anger, I lost jealousy, I lost greed, I lost fear. I lost arrogance. All this will accumulate when your heart is filled with darkness. The moment you bring in light, all of this will run away. Simply they'll run away. They cannot be there. So to bring in balance in life, see, please understand this. When we go towards the ego, we start losing balance. Because ego is never going to be satisfied. So it will ask for anything and everything. So your mind starts going in all different directions. And you will not have balance in your life. If you want to bring in balance in your life, you need to focus on some higher aspects of life. Then, for the sake of that higher, your body, your mind, your intellect, your wealth, everything will be. You know, this is the thing. A lot of people ask how to bring in balance, how to bring balance. You go in the direction of the ego and mind, they're twins, you know. Ego and mind are twins. So if you go in the direction of the ego, you will only be craving for more. You will lose balance in life. That's what is happening to a lot of people. Then you say 24 hours is not enough, this is not enough, that is not enough. So, if you want to conquer the asura, you got to catch hold of Mahavishnu. You got to catch hold of Narayana. You got to catch hold of Sri Krishna, Shiva, Upanishads, Gita, the scriptures. As you develop awareness in the higher dimension, slowly, slowly you will find all these negativities, asuras, gets completely destroyed. That's the thing. Automatically it goes. The greed goes, the fear goes. Fear is a direct offshoot of ego. Highly egoistic person is the maximum disturbed. Maximum afraid of. Scared. So, that's all he says. Durariha. He destroys all the asuras. As you gain this knowledge, knowledge means not information. You start really reflecting over all these that we are studying. Slowly, slowly you find many things go away and you are peaceful. There is no pressure to impress anybody. You know, there is no pressure to impress anybody. I heard this in some video. I forgot the person who quoted it. Apparently he quoted only three lines. This gentleman added one more line. It's a beautiful quotation. It says, we buy things mostly that we don't need. From the money that we do not have, to impress the people whom we don't like or who doesn't care about us. And doing things that we don't like. Doing the work that we don't like. We buy things that we don't need from the money we do not have to impress people whom we don't like, doing work that we don't enjoy. What is all this? It's all because of madness. What will these fellows think? What will they think? What will, going on, bother about what others will think. All the time. Shakal dikana. I have to go. Otherwise, So, if you go out of joy. And when you go out of joy, you enlighten that place. You make that place lighter. Otherwise, you take your melancholy with you. So all these negativities drop automatically as we grow spiritually. That's the idea. So, sarva roha nivarani, you can say. All rohas will go. But the root cause of all roga, especially the mental illness, is that ego. It is a non-existent, fake and false entity. But non-existent, fake and false entity has been given such a deep root, It's so solid now. We've got to remove that. Otherwise, it's not possible. How do you fight that? You got to fight that with shastras. That's what Bhagavad Gita says, in the 15th chapter. Asanga shastrena dhridena chitva. Cut it asunder with the sharp sword of knowledge. All the madness will drop. Unnecessarily, you will not buy the things that you don't need. And definitely not from the money that you do not have. There is no question of borrowing. And then, definitely not to impress people whom you don't like or who don't care. For that matter, even if they care, you don't want to impress them. Don't do things to just impress. And doing job that you don't enjoy. Selling your personality, basically. That's the problem. You will never sell your personality. You will never be available for sale. Your life will not be for sale. See, in spite of all our wealth and comfort and everything, we still feel we are leading a wretched life because the mental health is very bad. That's the problem. There's a lot of dependency. Still self-sufficiency is not come. Terrible, terrible state of mind. Too much demands. Attachment. Negative emotions. Cravings. Because of these things, we are living our life. We are complicating it. So all those complications will drop. He killed many asuras. Then you will get into the stories of Sri Krishna. Of course, you can talk about this Nama from that angle also. Not that you cannot talk. But what he is trying to say is, as we study this and start chanting this on a daily basis with this understanding, this effect will happen. Durariha, asuras are not outside, they are within us. Dared atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadayet, atmaiva atmano banduhu, atmaiva ripuratmanaha. Shloka number 5, chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. Your mind alone is your friend, your mind alone is your enemy. Bandhu, Ripu. Bandhu means friend, relative. Ripu means enemy. So your well-wisher is your mind. Your enemy, your destroyer is your mind. That's the problem. And that mind, you know, will become sattvic in nature. Durariha. You get closer and closer to Mahavishnu. Those qualities starts rubbing on you. That's the beauty, you know. You keep the company of good. As you get closer and closer to those good people, their qualities start rubbing on you. In Tamil, there is a nice, what would you say? I don't know. Whether it's a proverb or quotation or whatever. It says, Poovodu Sernda Narum Manakkum. Poo means flower. Flower has fragrance. But if you see the mala, they would have put the malas, the flowers together using a thread. In fact, for the thread they use, the plantain tree's stem, you know, the skin of the stem. They dry it and they use it. And it doesn't have any smell. But when that is used to tie the flowers and a beautiful mala is made, and then you smell that, you know, that thread. Even the thread will smell of the flower's fragrance. That's what it means. Puvodu sernda narum manakkum. So, we need to put in effort to associate with the good. Vajagovindam says, no. Satsangatve. Nitsangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nishchalatatvam, nishchalatatve jivan muktihi. To go to jivan mukti, the starting is satsang. And we need to put in that effort. We need to keep in touch with them. We need to always keep in touch. When Swamiji comes to any particular city, and for example, Delhi, let's say, and I'm in Delhi, so after the 5 days lectures and all that, when I see him off at the airport, he says, when are you coming to the ashram? Keep in touch, he says. Not that he's craving for people to keep in touch with him. He's quite comfortable without anybody contacting him. For our good, he says, keep in touch, keep in touch, keep in touch. But we don't keep in touch, that's the problem. So, Durariha. When you get closer and closer to Mahavishnu, asuras go far away from you. So, you need to put in your effort to tie your ego and mind to Bhagavan. And therefore what they did, they had a lifestyle created. From morning till night, everything is tied to Bhagavan. That's a very interesting lifestyle they created. But over a period of time, we do it out of fear or something like that, it's a problem. When you get up in the morning, you first, you know, people's house, if you see in their bedroom, they'll have one small Ganesh ji or somebody. And when they wake up, they want to see him. And then, in fact, traditional house, especially those days when they had this, you know, this kitchen, they used to have it with wooden, what do you call the wood? Wood is the one which is used as fuel. No gas stove, nothing like that. So, the wood is lit with the camphor that is lit from the puja room lamp. Everything is divinized. Because you've got to constantly keep in touch. When you keep in touch with Bhagavan, Durariha, Durariha, asuras will go far away from you. That's why in the South Indian houses, slowly, slowly, that is also getting obsolete now. But in the South Indian houses, evening 6 o'clock, they will have to light the lamp in the mandir inside the house. They have to light the lamp. Otherwise, they get agitated. The old lady will shout, "What is this happening? Nobody is lighting the lamp. Please light the lamp," like that. They will say, "If you don't light the lamp, all the negativity start coming in." So they light the lamp. In fact, in some houses, the light is lit throughout. Somebody or the other make sure that there is oil, there is wick and everything. Constantly the light is going on. When there is light, there is no darkness. When there is no darkness, there is no negativity. So to keep the negativity away from us, we need to keep the light going. That is what is the meaning of the Nama Durariha. Next shloka. Shubango loka sarangaha sutantu stantu vardhanaha indra karma maha karma rita karma kritagamaha shubango loka sarangaha sutantu stantu vardhanaha indra karma maha karma rita karma kritagamaha. Shubangaha. Now, one with enchanting limbs of perfect beauty. See, this is for meditation. You know, we have discussed before, there is something called as upasana. Upasana is what? Upasana is manasa vyaparam, meaning mental activity. And mentally you focus on the Lord with a form, right? Lord with a form. And when you do upasana, you can do it with to fulfill certain selfish desires, or you can do it for spiritual growth. Usually you do it for spiritual growth. So, the Lord, technically speaking, is infinite, inconceivable, beyond forms. But mind cannot, you know, be tuned into formless that easily. So therefore, you conceive of a form which is inspiring to you. For some people it may be Ganeshji, for some people it may be Lord Shiva, for some people it may be Shakti or Lord Vishnu, doesn't matter, any form. You can take that as your Ishta Devata. And you focus on that. So here he says, Shubhanga, one with enchanting limbs of perfect beauty. The beauty see, it's very interesting because mind can only tune into things which are attractive. You will never find gods and goddesses picture whose face is ugly looking. Right? Always smiling, always with karuna, etc. So Shubhanga, when he says, one with enchanting limbs of perfect beauty, it is the beauty of the self which reflects through the form. Upon dwelling on it mentally, instantly gives you peace. Instantly gives you peace, satisfaction. And when you focus on his limbs, or the divinity's limbs, you get goodness in your life. You get peace. In fact, Lord is talked about as Shantam Shivam Sundaram. Shantam means peace. Sundaram means auspiciousness. Harisundaram means the beauty. Shiva means auspicious. So, the form of the Lord is actually the reflection of the beauty of the self. Anything without the self is inert. The real beauty is the pure consciousness. That's all it is. So, Shubhanga, Loka Saranga. One who has inquired into or understood the essence behind the universe of names and forms. Loka Saranga also means the pranava, om. The sound om. Loka Saranga. One who has inquired into and understood the essence behind the universe of names and forms. What is that? Nothing but the Atma, the Self. It's called Loka Saranga. When you really reflect upon the essence, finally, you know, what is happening in our life, if you see, we go into all the non-essential things, then the last stage of our life, we somehow want to catch hold of essence. It should be the other way around. First, catch hold of the essence and then build things around it. Swamiji did not go and start the ashram in a hurry. You know, hurriedly, he could have started ashram many years ago. He said, no, first I have to write the books. He found all the scriptures are in Sanskrit, which is not the spoken language or studied language in many parts of India. Forget about other countries. So therefore, he said, this valuable knowledge should be brought out in English so that it's available for everybody. So he sat down and wrote the book. Not just one book, he wrote few books. And around the books, then the institution is built. You just have institute, but no book, then what will you do? It's like you have built a library, cupboards are there, everything is there, air conditioner, everything is put, chairs and tables, but there are no books. What will you do there? So what is the essence? The essence is pranava, om, the pure consciousness, the supreme consciousness gained through contemplation. Stutantu, beautifully expanded. It is that pure consciousness which has beautifully expanded into this universe. That one consciousness has become all these various manifestations. That's what he's saying. Stutantu, beautifully expanded. One mind expands itself into the entire dream. The flora, the fauna, everything in that dream is nothing but that one mind. One mind has expanded itself. So this world is nothing but an expansion of the self. See, when you understand these things, you can look at it from two different angles. This world is nothing but the expression of divinity. So you develop devotion. You start respecting each and every thing in this life. In places where people are little cultured, even the small kids they address with respect. I will say, hey, go there, like that. So, every aspect of this universe is nothing but divinity. That one divinity has expanded itself and is going on expanding. And the other way of looking at it is you, the self, that is expanded as the self, as the universe. So the universe is nothing but the expansion of your own self. When you understand this, will you contact this universe as a master or as a beggar? We say, no, wretched. What is that word in Hindi? Bichara. Bichara. You say bichara. Poor fellow. Poor fellow, because your understanding is ulta. Therefore, you outside you are a king, but inside you are a bichara. But when you gain this knowledge, outside you may be bichara, but inside you are a king. Always. You'll be the master. Never a slave, because it is yourself that has expanded itself as this universe. It's a very, very deep thought. Stuthantu. And when you really understand this, there is no way of selling your personality. Impossible. But this understanding is something that will come only when you deeply reflect. World is nothing but the expansion of the self. That's why in the 9th chapter of the Gita, as you see, he says, you know, I am not in them, they are in me. He says, the world has come from me. All the world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. And I am not in them, they are in me. And after that he says, they are also not in me. Outstanding statement he makes, Sri Krishna. What is the understanding today? I am in the world. I am sitting in Delhi, which is in India, which is in Asia, which is in Earth, and which is in the universe, etc., etc. This is my understanding. Whereas, the vision that Gita, Vedanta gives is a completely different vision. Ulta, totally. In fact, our vision is ulta. The right vision is, world is in you. That's why in the story of Sri Krishna, in Bhagavatam, when he opens his mouth to his mother, Yashodama, he is eating some sand. She says, open your mouth. When he opens the mouth, she's seeing the world there. What does that mean? Oh, you say Bhagavan Krishna, you know, Bhagavan has been born. That is okay. That is fine if you understand it that way. But intellectual way of looking at it is, the world is in you. But without knowing that, you are now going and begging. See, richness has got nothing to do with what you have. It is to do with what you are, what your thoughts are. What makes you rich is your thoughts, not the material stuff. So if you have this kind of knowledge, but now, see, the world is in me means what? The self. You won't understand it as the individual, Lakshmi Narayan. So you will never be arrogant. If you understand it, Lakshmi Narayan, then you will be arrogant. So arrogance will not be there. So stutantu, beautifully expanded. Tantu vardhanaha. It is the self which is behind the virility of the people that is contributing for the expansion of the family. In the Bhagavad Gita, I am the seed giving father. I have, through the sun and the moon, entered the earth, cooked the seeds, brought the vegetables and grains, And the one sitting in your belly as the Vaishvanara, the fire. And I am the one sitting in you, constantly urging you to reach the infinity and that manifests as desires. As a result, you act, you get the objects into you, you're offering it into the Vaishvanara, and when the food is digested, you develop the seed, and the seed propitiates itself. Tantu Vardhanaha. One who sustains the continuity of the drive for the family. Expansion. You know, in India, you'll see this. Oh, how old is your children? Acha, 24, 25. Especially girls. Oh, you have not got them married? Why is she not getting married? All the time, pinched. He says, I don't want marriage now. We are worried and this and that. If you actually see, there is interesting thought behind it. Today, it's a different thing, but actually what it is. See, marriage is an institute that provides you an opportunity to expand yourself. Yourself is contracted today to just me and myself. You don't care about the family. I'm not coming for dinner. You call at 9 o'clock and say, hey, they would have cooked. You don't care. I'm not coming for dinner. You do what you want. You know. Slowly after you get married, then you beget children, you will find that your self will slowly, slowly expand. Somebody is waiting for me. I have to go. And kids are there. You start planning. So that basically, you are expanding, expanding. When you expand, you become one with the divinity. Tantu Vardhanaha. One who sustains the continuity of the drive for the family. So the virility in you is nothing but the Atma, the Self. That's what he says. I am the one who permeating the earth through the sun and the moon. I've entered the earth, cooked the whole thing. I am sitting in you as a Vaishvanara. When you eat the food, you digest. And that thing gets into your body and then you produce, you expand your family. So I am that virility. Tantu Vardhana. Indra Karma. Glorious, auspicious actions. Indra Karma. The name of Lord Vishnu. One Nama is saying is Indra Karma. The auspicious action is that which destroys the vasanas, the impressions. When a great leader brings out certain scheme, or one idea, even in politics, you know, when a person does certain things with a good thought and works hard and brings it to reality, for generations it does good. For generations. Indra Karma, auspicious activity. An activity that you rise above your ego and do it for the welfare of everyone. Auspicious. So, Indra Karma, one who always performs glorious, auspicious action. So, the actions of Vishnu, even in the Puranas, if you see, are finally for what purpose? to get that person merged with the self. Nothing else. That's the ultimate idea. See, if all the wealth, all the knowledge, all the contacts, everything that you have is not useful for you to get back to the self, then it is a waste. A total waste. Everything that you have should be used to find the self. Otherwise you are wasting your time. Indra karma. Maha karma. One who accomplishes great activities. The greatest of all activities is what? Dissolution of the ego. This entire universe has come from him. It's a great, great activity. And not just creating universe. Making sure that everything is provided. How beautifully, you know, the seasons change, the weather changes, brings in rain, this, that. It's fantastic, fascinating. Mahakarma. Very, very interesting. When he says Indra Karma, Mahakarma, immediately he says Krita Karma. Means what? One who has fulfilled all his activities. He does all these great activities, but he is absolutely fulfilled. He has no need to do any of these activities. I think in the 17th verse of chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, he brings this concept. I have nothing to do. I have accomplished everything. I have nothing to do, yet I do. You go through samasar to understand this. You literally have nothing to do actually. Now the problem is, these kind of concepts have to be said because you've been attending now 11, 12 years, you somehow tolerated me. So you are okay now. I can say this. In the beginning itself, if I say, all of us will become lazy. Actually speaking, you have no obligation. Now, please understand these concepts correctly. When we say you have no obligation, you have no compulsion, you have no desire to do this or not to do this. You do it out of love. It is the compulsion, it is the condition, it is the desire that gives you stress. The villages, when you go to see these people when they are working in the field, happily singing and working. Singing and working happily. So, work should be an expression of joy. That's what he says. There is no compulsion to do, yet I keep doing. And the way people have to work, that's what he is telling Arjuna. What are you talking, man? I will get sin, I will get this. What does bother about? I will. Why are you worried about that? Just enjoy and do. Atova prapsasi swargam. Jitva va mokshase mahim. Beautiful shloka is there in the second chapter. Sri Krishna says, Arayar, if you have died, you will go straight to Swarga. Because you have happily done what you want to do, what you have to do. Have to do means what you enjoy doing. And then, supposing you win, you will get the kingdom. You will become the king, ruler. So what is, where is the problem? Doesn't matter. So Krita Karma, one who has fulfilled all activities. Ultimate state of perfection is Paripurnatvam. It is compared with ocean. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat. He says. It is compared to samudra, ocean. How many liters and liters of water comes and fills the ocean? How many liters of water are getting evaporated also simultaneously? It makes no difference to ocean. Absolutely no difference. Because ocean is paripurna. So he says, I am the paripurnatvam. Out of the purnam, my activities come. In fact, out of the purnam when you do, it will be Indra karma, it will be Mahakarma. That will be for the welfare of the world and it will be a great work because ego zero. Zero ego. Thoda sa ego aa jayega, bas. It destroys the whole thing. It's like, you know, if you say, sir, I'm going to give you a glass of milk. Fantastic milk, this product, something and all, you say. Just only one very, 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 very minute, small drop of deadly poison I've added. Please drink. Who will drink? Very small drop of that poison is enough to destroy the whole milk. Similarly, that little bit ounce of ego, morning till night, the whole thought is, what will I get? What will I get? What will I get? What is in it for me? Why is he talking about me like that? Why are people behaving like this? Why are, you get fed up. You want to run away from that place. Any city I go for 5 days, maximum 7 days I go, not more than that. Because if I can't change them in 5 days, the possibility is that they will change me, so I run away from that place. Constant I, everything is I. Then the I is high. Work is very low. Output is low. That's the problem. Or, comparatively, you find that your output is high, but it is comparative because other fellow is also doing with high. Like two fellows driving the car with their handbrakes on, one fellow reaches first and he is called a successful person. What success is this? Nonsense success. All the time, stress and strain is eating up. That is not success at all. It should be like, you know, you are in the cruise mode. Driving the car and it is in cruise mode, then it is success. That's all he says, Kritta Karma. I have nothing to do, I have no compulsion, nothing. Joyfully, you got to do. That's all it is. Krita karma. He has nothing. Completed everything. Paripurna. This I have to do. That I have to do. Very responsible. As if the world will not run if you don't do. Nothing will happen. So there is a difference between indifference attitude and objectivity. Sattvic. What we are talking about is sattvic, not indifference. Out of paripurnatvam, there is no this thing to do something. And there is no this thing not to do also. What will I get? I don't get anything. Why should I do? There is no, the karma is not the atmartham. Remember, if something is giving you stress, means there is no love. Otherwise, it's not possible to give you stress. Your relationship starts becoming egoistic and possessive and stressful. Work, it means it's not an end in itself. Therefore, you feel stress. If it's an end in itself, there is no stress. If it's a means for something, then it will give you stress. So the real grand work can be done only by the person who's calm, paripurna. Other fellow cannot do anything. That's all he says. Karmani eva adhikara mahapaleshu kadachanam. You see the line of thought in that chapter 2, before giving karmani eva adhikara, which is 47th shloka in chapter 2, 46th shloka, what is he saying? Yavanartha udapane sarvatra samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. He gives a beautiful example. He says, what is the use of a pond when the whole village is flooded with water? Huh? And you have trillions and trillions of dollars with you. Somebody is coming and offering you $100,000, $1 million, even $1 billion will be nothing. You are already having few billions and billions of trillions, let's say. How does it matter to you? It's just nothing. There's no comparison. So a person who's found the self freely walks around with zero expectation. His or her work is called Krita Karma. There is nothing to be achieved. The rajasic way of functioning, this has to be done, that has to be done, do this, do that. And therefore there is stress. You can either be motivated by desire or by love. And majority is motivated by desire. That's why there is stress. Even in a relationship, out of the two, if one has possessiveness and the other doesn't, the person who doesn't have possessiveness doesn't suffer. The other person who has possessiveness suffers. If you do not have possessiveness, you cannot suffer. If you have possessiveness, you will suffer. Krita Karma, one who has fulfilled all activities. Koi karne ka zarurat hi nahi, lekin he keeps on doing. Nobody can question you, even if somebody questions you, it doesn't affect you, and yet you do. It's like there is no camera on the road. No other cars, but the signal is red. Nobody can watch you or going to give you fine. But still you wait at the signal. That shows your character, isn't it? That's what he's talking about here. Krita Karma. Out of joy, such great expressions. Is all this Tantu Vardhanaha, all this is going on, not because it wants to achieve something, motive, nothing motive, nothing, simply goes. Nightingale sings. What is the motive of the nightingale? Nothing. So that's why he says, when the whole village is flooded with water, what is the use of the pond? There is no use. simply keep doing your karma here. Karmani eva adhikaraha mahapaleshu kadachi. And elsewhere he says, those fellows who crave for the fruit, wretched, vichara, that fellow is a poor fellow, he doesn't have wisdom. That's why he is looking for that paltry joy. Now when you read the book of Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. In the very beginning he starts by saying, as a beggar sitting on a huge box and begging, everyone is giving 5 paisa, 10 paisa like that. One fellow says, hey, what are you doing? Don't beg. Stop begging. Open that box. See what is inside. He doesn't. But when he opens, he finds treasure there. So, the treasure is within you. It's here and now. The mind is searching for it in the future and past. Yet it is, therefore it is missing it. A friend of mine, he is involved in, he's taken a sabbatical. In fact, he's kind of retired from doing all this routine work. He's extremely well educated. He's from IIT and US. He got educated in US also. Then he was working in San Francisco. He left everything, all his good position, everything he left. He's come back and now he is into investment and all that. He is now taken a separate place, quietly sitting. He says, I'm more productive now. I'm earning much, much more than what I probably used to earn when I was running around. See, your productivity multiplies when you go deeper. Productivity is very, very low when you are at the surface level. So that's why you got to study all these things together. Indra karma, mahakarma, krita karma. And then krita, kritagamaha. One who is the author of the Vedas. All this knowledge has come from him. The fountainhead of all this knowledge is Brahman, Vishnu. The Veda mantras are called as Agama. And these Agamas are what? They are revealed to great rishis. You know, Gayatri mantra was revealed to Sage Vishwamitra. And Sage Vishwamitra realized the self. At that point, Gayatri Mantra revealed to him. So, all these Vedic mantras are revealed, it's called revealed text, hence it's called Shruti. Smriti means remembered. This is Shruti. When you do tapas and you go deeper and then you look into any shloka, you will be able to see the deeper meaning of that shloka. The other is, you read so many books, compare, contrast, take notes, then present. That's a different method. But that's not the method that Sri Krishna talks about. you go deeper into your personalities. Then, from the fountainhead of knowledge you speak. That is why the Veda, all these Vedas have come from Vishnu, Brahman. Anybody who was given these mantras, they gave it when they had lost their ego. That's all he says, Kritagamaha. And the ego is ended, the self alone comes to manifest. Any great work is accomplished when you're dead. When you're dead means when your ego is dead. So Kritagamaha, Vedas themselves have come from me. I am the author. All this great work has come from me. Me. Why is it? All this is expanded from me. All this, meaning it is from you the whole thing has come about. But we want to expand by accumulating things within this world. What a very sad state of mind it should be. The way we want to expand, the word they use in the today's world is well settled. Highly unsettled fellows. But they say very well settled. What they are thinking about expansion is, few things in this world, what would be your things that you accumulated, if at all? Very little compared to the total. And you say you have expanded well. The whole expansion is you. And within that expansion, you want to amass few things and then think you have expanded. This is because of a poor thinking. Very sad thinking it is. This is what he is trying to say here. The entire Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything is saying this only. The state of affairs is so bad today because your whole perception is ulta. You do not have proper understanding. You got to change that. That's the idea. 11 years we've been studying means it's to bring that perception. When that happens, you will see everything changes in your life. Everything changes. It's like we say, no, the penny dropped. You understand, you will say, yeah, all this madness, enough is enough. So many people, it has happened to so many people. Buddha just, when he was Gautam, Siddharth, he just walked. Enough is enough. You cannot, you say, I'll convince the world, I'll make everybody understand. Nobody will understand. If you are still thinking that you need to convince the world, you have not really got the conviction yet. You cannot, not possible, because it's a completely different perception. That perspective will get only by gaining the knowledge. No other way. So he is the author of Vedas. So there is no rules and regulations that he has to, Veda says this, you have to follow it. What are you talking about? Vedanga. Jyotisha is one of the Vedanga. See, originally, somewhere I came to know, originally this Jyotish Shastra was used for only one reason, I believe. When a child is born, they write just to check only one thing, which is what kind of obstacles in which periods the child will have for the child to move towards the Atma, the self, towards self-realization, to attain self-realization, what kind of obstacles the child will have, how to face it. For this only they use Jyotish. Now, I don't know for all, what all they see time. You want to file your nomination to contest an election? Jyotish. You want to go to supermarket to buy dal chawal? Jyotish, the time dekhta. Time. A very poor quality of mind. Very poor quality of mind. And Jyotish is Vedanga. Vedanga. Siksha, Kalpa, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chandas, Jyotishamiti, he says. The Upanishad. These are all Vedangas. Angas of Vedas. So the Vedic declaration is to realize the self. For that, the Shastra should be used. But we are using it for all mundane stuff today. The very purpose is lost. And once you have reached that, then what is the use of all this? That's what he is saying. Kritagamaha. I am the author of Vedas, man. And Vedas are saying, you have to do this, you have to do that, this ritual, that ritual. What ritual are you talking about? That is to fulfill desires. I am already fulfilled. So there is nothing to be done. I don't have to do anything. So when you gain this knowledge, that have to will drop. Thereafter it will be replaced with love to. That is all it is. Please understand. Work will not be dropped. Love will say, achacha. Oh, he will stop acting. Yeah. You have to be sitting down. And keep on saying, what is the use? Kuch nahi hai. Like this, if you talk, wow, he's a spiritual person. What spiritual person? He is saying something else. Have to will drop. Work will not drop. And the have to will be replaced with love to. That's all it is. So, I am the author of the Vedas. I alone, the knower of the Vedas. There is nothing that needs to be done by me. Yet I keep doing. This will happen to you the more you start reflecting and dropping the conditionings. Otherwise, no. Otherwise, you will continue with more Gita knowledge or information without any transformation. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Iti Samarpayami. Hari Om.